Hi, I'm Alex Mason. Welcome to Maritime Magazine. Today, we're bringing you a story about milk. Yeah, milk. And in many ways, really, that makes it a story about life. Milk is all mammals' first food. But it's more than that. In many ways, it's a symbol for all food, a product that comes from animals, by way of farmers, to us. Problem is, it's not really up to us to decide how we get our milk and from whom. Halifax freelance broadcaster Leslie Lowe has been looking into how a group of Nova Scotia dairy farmers is trying to get its organic milk onto supermarket shelves. We'll hear her documentary in a few minutes, but first Leslie joins me in the studio. Hi, Leslie.
Hey, Alex.
I buy some local products, some organic products. I don't think I've ever seen local organic milk on the shelves here.
No, you haven't. And you won't see it in Prince Edward Island or New Brunswick yet either. Milk is just about the most highly regulated product you can think of. And it's not just here. It's clean across the country. And this story has a lot to do with those regulations. Now, it's not about health and safety. To be clear, we're not talking about unpasteurized or what's called raw milk. I know there's been a lot of press lately about raw milk, and I want people to know that's not the issue here.
This is just about organic milk.
That's right. Milk that is from cows that are fed with crops that aren't treated with chemical fertilizers or pesticides.
Well, what's the problem then?
The problem is there's a group of 6 Nova Scotia organic milk farmers. 2 are already certified organic, and you'll meet them in a minute. 4 others are in the process of becoming certified organic. They're trying to maintain some control over what happens to their milk after it leaves their farms.
What do you mean by that?
Well, all dairy farmers in Nova Scotia, by law, must sell their milk to the province.
To the provincial government?
That's right.
Okay.
To regulate the safety of raw milk. The province is the only buyer and seller of raw milk. These guys want to be able to buy their milk back and ship it to a processor of their choice. And that's a processor who will keep it segregated from non-organic so it can be marketed and sold at a premium.
And so you're saying that right now they sell their organic milk to the province and the province mixes it with non-organic milk?
That's right. It gets mixed right at the farm, goes into the truck.
Oh, so much for the premium you might get on your price then.
Yeah. And just to give you an idea, in Halifax, organic milk sells for about $3.69 a liter versus around $2.50 for non-organic milk.
Their request on the surface, obviously we're going to hear your documentary, but it sounds reasonable.
Well, the province's Milk Marketing Board, which is called Dairy Farmers of Nova Scotia, or DFNS, it's a farmer-run board, and it's set up so that no farmer really knows where the milk goes after it leaves the farm. So they know it goes to a certified processor. The big ones in Nova Scotia are Baxter's, Scottsburn, and Farmers, but they don't know which one, and they don't know whether it will be sold as liquid milk or made into ice cream or, say, butter.
So these organic farmers would like a little bit of say over that.
Yeah. And it's a story about these 6 farmers, and they're all across the province from Cape Breton to the Annapolis Valley. And the province, which is trying to figure out a way to make this work, and as we'll hear, it's also a story about how Nova Scotians can, and in some cases can't, access local food.
Yeah. Well, let's have a listen to your documentary.
Herman Mentink has the kind of place city slickers imagine when they think farm. Rolling pastures, a gorgeous view of the Grand Pré Dyke lands.
Hi. Hi, are you Anne-Marie?
Yes.
Hey, I'm Leslie.
Oh, I'm on my morning walk.
His wife Anne-Marie is out for a morning stroll and points toward the huge yard.
Nice to meet you too.
Do you want to hop in?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I think Herman's probably up there.
Okay. They've been here in Lower Wolfville for 32 years.
Okay.
Herman stopped using chemical fertilizers and pesticides in 1988 because, he says, it just seemed like the right way to farm.
Well, it feels good because, you know, they get attached to you somehow because I think they know you look after them. You're the person who gives them something to eat, and that's what they're after. But especially when you do rotational grazing, if they see you, they'll know that they're going to get another pasture.
Yeah.
And I think they know you by voice, too. If I call them, they know it's me. Okay, my name is Herman Mentink.
Should I shut the door?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
She can come in too if she
wants. At 5 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m., he milks about 70 brown Swiss and Holstein cows. That's every day. Christmas, New Year's, Herman's birthday, his and Anne Marie's anniversary. Cows just don't take holidays.
When the cows walk in, they're at our level. The others at our level, so you don't have to bend down. And
Herman's milk is certified organic. That means he pays at least double what another farmer might for feed. Plus, there's the cost of inspection to maintain his certification.
Being stored, also kept cold. Right. We have to keep the milk cool.
Until it gets picked up.
Yeah, and it's picked up every other day.
The milk might be organic, but at the end of the day, it goes into the big farmer's dairy truck with all the other non-organic milk on the route. Herman should be getting a premium for his milk. Instead, he's been taking a loss for the last couple of years.
Oh, wow.
It's too many rules and regulations. It's hard to get something going.
Meeting Herman, you can tell he's not relishing this tension. He just wants to farm the way he believes is right. And there are a lot of Nova Scotians who want to pay Herman and other farmers like him for the practices and principles employed on organic farms.
That seems to be what people are looking for right now. Local produced food, because it would help our local economy, and the people would know more what they're eating, especially organic. I think it's people would understand where it comes from and where it is produced, and I think a lot of consumers would like that.
If you want to see somebody, you've talked to Herman Mandlich. To him, he's the epitome of a person who lives and breathes his soil. And if we were like him here, then that's what I want to attain to. I'm probably a little bit more radical in this type of thing, but Herman is a real gentleman and a real good farmer.
Fraser Hunter's organic milk goes into the big silver truck with non-organic milk, too.
People take the Trans-Canada, but if you take the Sunrise Trail, then you pass our farm. You come through Merrigamish, Lismore, Arisaig, and we look over the Northumberland Strait to PEI in the distance or Pictou Island.
Fraser knows the industry inside and out. He's a former president of the Nova Scotia Federation of Agriculture and a true farm entrepreneur.
About 140 head altogether, with cows and heifers and beef cows and calves. So we milk about 65. It's an all-grass farm of about 300 acres. We have sheep as well, and we have beef cattle, so that hopefully in the long term we can offer a full organic package.
Fraser also has a licensed organic cheese plant that's about to open. So why even bother producing liquid organic milk?
We saw that there was a market niche there that could be serviced, and we could add value to our milk and receive a return for the system. The consumer was paying not just for milk, but paying for the system that you employed on your farm.
Those consumers abound. Halifax drinks more organic milk per capita than anyone else in the country, except for Toronto. But for 2 years, Fraser and Herman and four others have been in negotiations with the province's Milk Marketing Board to get their product out there.
Well, it's the regulations that are set up at the moment. DFNS is the sole buyer and seller of raw milk in Nova Scotia. All we want to do is buy our milk back from DFNS and have it branded through the system. But the system won't let us buy our own milk back from DFNS.
Until then, Fraser says, Nova Scotians looking for organic milk will buy the products that are on shelves now from Quebec and Ontario.
Time is of the essence, okay? Why I say that is that, one, it's costing people as they go through transition who are certified producing that milk with higher costs. Two, the market won't be there forever. And one of the things we've got to realize in agriculture as a whole is when the market develops, we've got to respond to it. And we've got to respond in a timely manner. If regulations don't allow you to respond to a market in a timely manner, then there's something wrong with the regulations. And the regulations as such, we're not saying different regulations on the health of the product or whether it should be non-pasteurized, or it's just marketing regulations. And if those market regulations don't let you respond to a market, then there's something wrong.
When you say the market isn't going to exist, you don't mean that people are going to stop drinking organic milk. You mean somebody else is going to come in and...
Somebody else is going to come fulfill that market. And so that we won't have Nova Scotia organically produced milk on the Nova Scotia marketplace. And let's face it, in the long term, surely that is sense in that, again, in terms of carbon footprint, it's produced here, processed here, retailed here, and drunk here. That seems logic to me.
But here's where we come to the other side of this story, and where we meet the crossroads of barns and bureaucracy.
We were sitting in a car in a parking lot in Sackville. Is that what you mean?
Brian Cameron and Havy Whitten are sitting in a rental car near the junction of Highway 101 and Highway 102.
Well, we're on our way to meetings with our members. We have fall regional meetings where we go around the province and meet with producers. And
Brian is general manager of the Provincial Milk Marketing Board, DFNS. He's been in on the 2 years of negotiations with the organic farmers. So has Havy Whitten.
We're working with them and trying to do what we can to help them along.
Havy, sitting in the passenger seat, is a dairy farmer from Stewiacke. He's also vice chair of the board. He's not organic, and he says he doesn't have the same concerns about where his milk goes.
As a producer, I really don't know where my milk goes. It goes on the truck, and the truck is assigned to go to a certain processing facility, but as a producer, I may or may not know where it goes. I can ask the driver that particular day, and he can tell me where it goes, but as a producer, I'm not really concerned where it goes as long as it goes to a processor and get processed and I get paid for it.
Differences aside, Havy would like to see the organic scuffle settled.
It may not be moving as fast as the organic producers would like, but there is an offer on the table, which we believe, as the DFNS board, that it does meet the needs that they require to move forward. So really, from my perspective, we're waiting for direction from the organic industry.
Here's the offer. The province will guarantee that the organic farmers can buy back all their own milk, pay to ship it to the processor they want, and market it as local organic. Brian Cameron says it's an unprecedented deal.
As a Scotsburn or a Farmers or a Baxters, you know, big processors in this province, they don't have the same assurances that organic Scotia Organic would have under this plan as to commitment of milk.
But it's not forever. The organic farmers will only have control of their milk for 5 years. After that, the organic milk can stay segregated, but the six farmers who produced it won't be guaranteed first in line to buy it back. Here's what Herman Mentink thinks of that.
We like to have a few more years. We like to make sure when we start something that we always have a supply of milk, because it costs quite a bit to get this thing going. And then after 5 years, once we get it going and there's more milk, somebody else could take it over. And that's what we're scared of. The larger factories might be interested in starting up once they know there's a market, once they know there's a supply there, then they might want to get into it as well.
That's why the organic farmers aren't biting. After all, they could spend 5 years building up the market, only to have a big corporation, such as Saputo, for example, come in and take it over. DFNS says, look, this offer isn't going to get any better.
It can happen. Scotia Organic Milk Producers could sell their milk to DFNS. DFNS can sell that milk to a processor. The processor can process that milk. Then the milk enters the Halifax market and it's distributed across Nova Scotia. It's Nova Scotia milk, organic milk, going to Nova Scotians, and that's a very positive thing. It's a select Nova Scotia. It fits with the government's agenda and really what Nova Scotians are asking for, rather than have it being brought in from out of province. So it's a win-win situation that way. We'd like to move forward with that, recognizing, again, it would take a number of months to get it all implemented and in place. We're waiting.
Time is ticking. The province's insistence on a five-year limit meant the end of a deal between DFNS and Organic Meadow Dairy Co-op. Organic Meadow is the brand of organic milk on shelves most Nova Scotians will recognize. It's based in Guelph, Ontario. but the company has been looking for producers in the Maritimes to supply the local market. And it was willing to partner with the farmers, compensate them as they went through the costly transition to organic years, and give up their own market in Nova Scotia, all in the name of local organic.
I mean, this is one of the things that the Department of Agriculture is constantly, you know, saying, we need innovation in agriculture.
Beth McMahon would have loved to see the organic meadow deal happen.
Or, you know, we need new young people coming in. Well, if people have an idea and there's all these roadblocks in the way, that's really going to deter people. I mean, there's a lot of other easier ways to make money.
Beth is the executive director of ACORN, the organization that promotes organic agriculture in Atlantic Canada and the eating of local organic food.
You know, I would have thought that DFNS would have been really excited to be displacing, you know, milk that was coming in from Quebec and Ontario. I just thought that this is one of those good news stories, and this is what local agriculture does, you know, and tooting their own horn, but that's not it right now.
The province doesn't have to reinvent the wheel to make this work. Beth McMahon looks to Ontario and Quebec, where local organic is just a given. It could be, should be, she says, the same here.
I think it's exactly what everybody wants to see from the consumer, from the dairy producers, and from the government. I mean, they're putting a lot of money into, say, programs like Select Nova Scotia. You know, this is what they want to see. They want to see local products coming up. They want to see, you know, people buying Nova Scotia.
That is what the government wants to see, according to Liz Krause. She's with the Nova Scotia Natural Products Marketing Council, another player on the government side of the negotiations with Herman, Fraser, and their group.
I think the dairy industry, along with council, has been quite committed to working with Scotia Organic to try and make decisions on how we may be able to get local organic milk into the stores. And I think that's just a process that's a work in progress at this point.
Organic Meadow Dairy Co-op pulled out of those negotiations because after 2 years, it realized the province wasn't going to be flexible on that five-year limit. Liz Krause says dairy is a deeply complex industry, and 2 years really isn't that long to be talking.
You've asked the question about why it isn't a simple, let's just get local organic on the shelves. As I've hoping to explain, it's the complexity of the industry and the number of areas that have to be addressed that it's not quite that straightforward. Obviously, the council is most interested in food safety and security. They're interested in fairness to everybody who's involved in the industry, whether it's consumers, producers, or processors. So the amount of 2 years is not uncommon as a length of time when a new entrant into the industry in a new area would need to be addressing those challenges. This kind of a process just isn't a simple or quick one, regardless how much we'd want to make it that way. And that kind of timelines are important to make sure that sober second thought happens, we've addressed all the issues that we need to address, we do our best at looking down the road and saying as a council, if we make this decision, it's not going to have a negative effect on either already somebody in the industry, in consumers, in the current supply of conventional milk to stores. There's just so many pieces of the puzzle that need to be analyzed.
Organic Meadow began negotiations with Manitoba producers the same time it started talking to DFNS and farmers here. That local organic milk hit shelves Tuesday.
I'm shocked. I can't believe how difficult it has been for these producers. And
For Beth McMahon from ACORN, getting local organic milk on Nova Scotia shelves is bigger than wrangling over details. For her, it's about nothing less than the future of farming.
Every year, the number of farms in Nova Scotia and across Canada are declining. And there's a reason for that. Many reasons for that. And so when you look at organic agriculture and you see the growth there and you see the number of new people coming in and young people coming in and families coming in, that's a really hopeful situation, and you want to encourage that any way you can.
We're going to find a way to do it.
Those producers, like Herman Mentink and Fraser Hunter, aren't giving up.
Oh, I mean, life's full of trials and tribulations, and if it was smooth sailing, it wouldn't be enjoyable. So you have a psychological cost, which is often a result of the financial impact. But farmers as such, it's a business, and we see potential long-term. If we get through this short-term situation, there is returns long-term, not only to us as individuals, but to the land, to the customer, and to society at large.
As I was leaving his farm, I asked Fraser if his neighbors are looking for his milk, if there's a demand. Well, he said, everyone is our neighbor. And yes, there is a demand. For Maritime Magazine, I'm Leslie Lowe.
Leslie Lowe is a freelance journalist in Halifax. She mentioned earlier in the program that you can't get local organic milk in New Brunswick or Prince Edward Island at the moment either. On Prince Edward Island, the Amalgamated Dairies Limited, or ADL, controls about 90% of the milk production for the island. It's recently begun working with some local dairy farmers to help them through the transition to organic production. But there are no plans to release liquid organic milk for the public. The company says there isn't a market for that on Prince Edward Island, but ADL will bring out an organic cheese in the next few months. In New Brunswick, both Northumberland Dairies and Baxter's offer organic milk under their labels, but that milk is shipped in from Quebec. Jack Christie from Northumberland Dairies told us he also doesn't think there's a big enough market for organic milk in that province to make it worthwhile for local dairy farmers. What do you think about this? Would you seek out local organic milk if it was available? What do you think about the way provinces handle milk production and distribution in general? Call us with your thoughts. Here's our number. It's 1-800-565-5463. That number again, 1-800-565-5463. Or you can send an email to marmag@cbc.ca. You can also send an email via our website at cbc.ca/maritime magazine, and you can find past programs there that you can listen to in real audio. Next week on the program, something a little different for us. The CBC's Fliss McGregor brings us a fairy tale of sorts, kind of appropriate for the season. It's a story of three local craftspeople and the little shop where they make magic and spread it out to the international stage and screen. Here's a preview.
20 pieces of silver for the witch. Next!
Wow, what are those shoes that you're working on?
These are the magical imps for Shrek the Musical. The red ones are the woman's imp, and the green ones are the man's. They have a sort of a, I don't know, what would you call that, an upturned toe? Like a sort of a fairy impy toe?
And they really are fabulous. I'm absolutely mesmerized.
Shillings for the possessed toy. Take it away.
I don't know if you saw the Shrek movie, but there's the sort of Robin Hood people that are in the forest, and this is one of the kind of feeling that you get from these is a very Renaissance sort of style.
The toes curving up like that, they almost look like little rhinoceros horns,
yeah.
I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We get a lot of people ordering this style of toe. I don't know what it is. There's been a big run on this style for years now. Wicked also has this, but in Wicked, there's a lot of munchkins, and the munchkins also have this style of toe.
Wow, those are amazing. I love those.
They're kind of flashy because they're metallic. They're green metallic.
Janelle does a lot of the heavy physical work. She's the one who hammers on the soles and the heels, and she's the only one here who wears an apron.
I love the process. I love the materials. You know, the shop is very quiet, and it's a very kind of contemplative sort of atmosphere. But it's always changing, you know, like day to day. Orders come in out of the blue. Someone will call and order something like, you know, an exciting project. And then we're off again, you know, we're on a new adventure.
And now, Pigs in Space!
What's one of the craziest pairs of shoes you've ever had to make?
You know, we made shoes for Miss Piggy, and that was a big deal for us. We got a phone call. The Muppet people were doing a movie called Muppets from Space. We did. We made shoes, 3 pairs of shoes for Miss Piggy and 1 pair of shoes for Gonzo. Yeah, that might be one of the most interesting things we did.
Oh, isn't this electrifying?
And we made her a pair of purple and black suede platform shoes with stiletto heels, a pair of cherry red kid pumps, really sexy, a pair of orange ultra suede sort of sandally type platforms. She's really into the high heel, you know. And Gonzo, a little pair of red kid bedroom slippers. Very sweet.
Oh, Captain, may I please perform the maneuver?
So, how did this remote area of Nova Scotia become a key producer of shoes for the stage and screen?
You'll find out the answer to that question next Sunday, 8:30, on Maritime Magazine. I'm Alex Mason. We'll talk to you then. We leave you this week with a song from Megan Smith, Jill Barber, and Rose Cousins. Have a great week.
All the little lights are shining, all the rooftops bright. The city is aglow, and everybody knows that tonight is a new kind of light. All of the angels gather, all the shepherds turn to see. The stable is aglow, and everybody knows, and hearts take flight, and this is a new of a red nose in flight, the ground turn a glistening.